for The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. It begins with the Top 4 at 4. Tucker Harlan, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Freddie DeLeon and DJ Jefferson have both landed at new schools. DeLeon is staying in the Power 5 ranks as he committed to Mike Rhodes and Penn State. And Jefferson is going to a school Tennessee played in the NCAA tournament just 2 seasons ago in Longwood.
Freddie Buckets, we hardly knew ye. That's what we talked about in hour number 1. I think you're going to see a major de-emphasis. I think you are seeing a major de-emphasis on high school basketball recruiting. And these guys need a lot of work. They need playing time. They need to go to schools like Longwood and Penn State where they can get reps, minutes, games, and develop their careers. And then if that happens, like if Freddie Buckets goes to Penn State and gets his averages 15 points a game or something, like, wouldn't it surprise me to see him back in the portal here in another year or two, coming back to the SEC or a Big Ten school you've actually heard of, you know, that plays basketball and stuff?
Yeah, I think development at the Power 6 level for the good schools, I think it's done. We'll take the players that are ready-made.
We're going Power 6 now?
Isn't that right? It's going to be Power 5 with the Pac-12 dissolving. Okay, so Big East is included in that.
Ah.
Yeah, it was Power 6, but it will be going back down to Power 5.
Shouts out, Big East.
At number 2, Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy has been formally reinstated.
Breaking news!
Bush's 2005 Heisman was stripped from him in 2010 amid an NCAA investigation into the USC football program in which it was discovered Bush was receiving impermissible benefits. The reason the Heisman Trust gave for giving Bush his trophy back was, quote, enormous changes in the college football landscape.
Yeah, you don't say. So you think that tweet they put out about OJ got him any pushback? Like, wait. You're going to tweet about OJ, this great former Heisman winner.
Who tweeted about USC?
The Heisman.
The Heisman?
Yeah, the Heisman Committee.
Company?
Whatever. Isn't it? Yeah.
Committee? I don't know.
Heisman House. Trust.
Downtown
Trust.
Athletic
Trust.
Club.
Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute. You're going to tweet good things about this guy, but this guy can't even have the trophy
what
in his
house?
What
did they tweet about OJ? Thoughts and prayers?
It's like, oh, we recognize this great performer.
No,
on
they did it.
Oh, yeah. Tough day for his family.
Wow. They did. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oof.
And then what, a week? What are we? How far? Was that about a week ago? A little over a week?
Probably.
Is the Downtown Athletics Club a thing? Is that like a place? Because when I hear that, I just picture like a place in New York City where you go and swim laps and
hop in the steam room. And I drove past it last summer.
What is it?
I'm not sure. I was heading to the airport and
people in
I
there
just glanced and over. I was like, wow, Downtown Athletic Club.
And how did they get to be the bestower of the number one prize in college
football?
I feel
like we're getting dangerously close to a subject that we just don't need to talk about.
Yep, private, social, and athletic club.
Yeah. Thank you, Houston. I was trying to steer him away from talking about.
I won't get mad. Like one of those indoor old school wood floor gymnasiums with the track around
medicine
the top.
Balls, yeah.
Medicine balls, yeah.
Old dudes art deco singlets. Style.
Big walrus mustaches with
those
the
rings that you're, yeah. you're hanging on the rings and stuff.
Yeah. And the bar, like the weights where it's just like giant balls of steel at the end of one.
Some guy in a leotard just curling one full. Yeah.
Some machine on the
succulent
wall.
Succulent Chinese meal.
Has the strap that goes all the way around and just shakes you.
Yeah. I remember when
you're
my family was moving
horse.
In like the late 80s. And I was a kid and like going into houses and stuff, and there was this one house we went into, and they had one of those. The machine, it was like a thing that you stood on, almost like a weight. You know, when you go to the doctor and they've got that old weight thing,
and like that canvas strap would go around.
Yeah, around your butt, and like it would jiggle, and it's supposed to jiggle the fat off.
Yeah, it's supposed to break down the fat. People actually believed it.
People bought these things. Oh, I'll stand on this thing and have it jiggle my butt, and I'll get skinny.
Don't you just not stand on that thing and do some exercise there, fatty?
Oh.
At number three, North Florida guard Chaz Lanier has entered the transfer portal as a graduate transfer.
Chaz.
He's going through the NBA draft process, and he averaged 19.7 points and 4.8 rebounds per game for the Ospreys this past season.
Chaz can be on our new name team with Darlin Stone and Igor and Felix. Zakai.
Chaz is short for Chester, correct?
Is it? That was Charlie.
That's Chuck. That's short for Charlie. Well, Chaz?
Different names can have different nicknames.
Really thought Bear would be all over that one.
It is a short form of Charles.
Chaz. Huh. It is.
Score one for Russ. Yeah, it did. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Cress.
Apparently also Chester. Also Chester, according to Wikipedia. Play it again.
You get one
play
too. All right, there you go. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, me.
It's Chester.
Chester and Charles. Fascinating.
I don't like it.
And finally at number four, North Carolina guard R.J. Davis has announced he will return for his fifth year of college eligibility. Davis was a first-team All-American in every poll this season for the Tar Heels, averaging just over 21 points per game and 3.5 assists per game.
Wonder what kind of deal he's getting. Fat stacks.
No idea what these guys – you would think he would be a million-dollar-a-year guy. Big pickup for the Tar Heels.
That's a steal at twice that price, isn't it?
$2 million? I don't know. It ain't my money.
It's a lot.
I keep hearing six-figure numbers for the guys that we're getting.
Yeah, the question is which kind of end of the six figures, right? Like, does it start with a one or a two or an eight or a nine?
I've heard mid for a lot of these.
Mid to high, depending.
I mean, I guess in hindsight, if that's true, that Connect was worth seven figures.
Like, was he worth, like, in my opinion?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Thank you, Tucker. That is your top four at four here on Fan Run Radio. Just picking up Joshy Boy's question about suspensions. Vol rumor mill, you hear anything through your sources?
Message boards are
buzzing?
I wouldn't say buzzing, but there's some
rumbling,
some squirming, some crawling.
Football?
Yeah.
Just a suspension.
Some are saying suspension, some are saying
dismissal.
Yeah.
Hmm. Were you worried? Good player? Do you have a name?
No, have not seen a name.
Okay.
But I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Such a weird time of year, too. Like, right, I don't know. Right before, you know, the season, during fall camp, right before fall camp, okay? Like, you just kind of got through the hard stuff. Spring practice is over.
So we're in the, there might be a disciplinary situation,
yeah,
but we just hope it's not a very good player portion of the rumor mill freakout.
Okay. Yeah.
I can exist comfortably there.
Yeah.
I would rather not, but I suppose I don't have a choice here. Tucker, what's this about you and Marcus hosting some draft reaction show tomorrow night?
We will be doing that from 8 to whenever the draft ends.
App only?
App only.
First of all,
watch the draft.
Video stream, yeah.
I'm already picking up pieces of potential dissension amongst the on-air staff here. I got a tweet from Brett Hollander. It was little jelly.
Don't worry. There will be various Fan Run personalities sprinkled in throughout the...
Oh, I've already got my invitation.
Yeah. We got several people
calling
in and out. So
cameos will be made in person and via the phone lines.
Yes.
So are you guys just going to sit there and watch the draft and just react to it in real time?
That's the plan. Have some analysis for it.
What time is this thing going to be rolling?
Should start right after overtime.
Interesting.
I think Bill said he's going to hang around. John Reed going to They might partake in a drinking game, perhaps. I was told.
Interesting.
That was John's idea, not any of ours.
No, you should have four potential picks in a hat. You each draw one for, you know, the first round.
I didn't get an invite. I'll just go ahead and butt in here and say that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is it because of the air horns?
That has nothing to do with the air horns. Jake Miller's not involved in this.
Ouch. Some of the other mean things I've done.
No, it's got nothing to do with the air horn. Although I did see that the Commanders are picking second.
He's gotten so good, man. He's gotten so good at the just.
I'll break him down.
Dry delivery,
like a cheap suit.
We are.
I will break you down, youngin.
Trying to find fans of franchises that are drafting that night.
Who do you want? You want Jaden?
I don't know. Who do you want? Since you were as big
Joe
a Redskins fan as me, that you fooled everybody into not remembering that about you.
I haven't. I've been very upfront and honest about my Redskins fandom for years.
You literally gave up on the Redskins over the Heath Shuler thing.
Yes. No, I didn't literally.
But
that's what happened.
It's weird that I might have given up on the Titans because they traded my favorite quarterback.
But you didn't give up
funny.
On the Titans.
You were
an active Titans hater until a couple of years ago. And
you're just a hypocrite and a fraud. And I hope that one day
you're
that everyone will that everyone will see it and see you for what you are. That's what keeps
what
me going.
What have I been hypocritical
in the morning
about?
When I get out of bed, it's
what have I been fraudulent
will
about?
Will Russ be exposed for being
exposed for what?
Just being a complete and total fraud. I
about
mean, you're
what?
A damn Cubs fan, hardcore. You have multiple Cubs pieces of swag when they were winning the World Series, and now that they've gone melted back into mediocrity, you're like brave super fan.
You're saying
I think it's a damn shame. I do.
You say these things as if they're like things that I've attempted to hide or am in any way ashamed about.
Who are the Commanders? Who are your Commies going to pick? Second overall.
I don't know. Probably Jaden Daniels. Speaking of circular logic and just completely irrational positions, Brad and LaFollette is demanding an I told you so for his Dean Curley hate. Now, I did not watch much of the UT baseball game last night, but I was actually out to dinner with the family and all of a sudden started getting inundated with messages saying that Brad and LaFollette has been proven right. There's some sort of mojo. Brad and LaFollette is laughing. Lots of Brad and LaFollette takes coming in. And I thought, oh, no. Oh, no. What has our boy done? What happened to old Curley last night?
It wasn't too bad. Just a little. Would you call that a routiner? He had to slide a little bit, not actually slide, but move a little bit to get it, and he short hopped Burke, and it was outside, and Burke couldn't quite contain it. And is that the
so a bad throw, or did he boot it? I'm having trouble picturing what happened here.
It would have been a tough catch, to Brad's point. If he puts it right here, probably no problem.
So it's a bad throw.
Yeah.
You see, Brad and LaFollette feels the same way about our old Curley bit as Jamie does about Jam or Not a Jam. Both despise it for whatever reason.
Could you explain this to me a little bit better, Houston, if I had some sort of musical accompaniment?
No.
Just tell me what happened. Like, was it a ground ball? Was he going through his left, his right? He's coming in. Easy throw, hard throw. Put it in the dirt, a little high, a little wide. You just can't bring yourself to admit any Curley slander.
I'm not going to slander him in this voice, that, first of all. not in his voice that was created specifically for him.
I heard he was out drinking all night with the boys last night.
Come to think of it, Burke should have made that play. He's a veteran. Help the freshman out.
Yo!
No, but in all seriousness, probably could have been a little better throw there. It's a play we've seen Burke make countless times, but he didn't make it on this night, and he really cost old Curley. Sorry, an error I believe he was charged with, perhaps.
How many runs scored?
I think that might have been the inning where they came back and got four and tied the game. Four.
No, they took the lead briefly.
Was it 5-4?
Or no, I think it was 4-3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read you Brad and LaFollette's DM to me from earlier today in the old curly voice?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't like slandering the guy in his own voice.
But this will be Brad and LaFollette.
Okay.
I may not be able to call in today, but after the events that transpired last night from the throwing error, on behalf of the sheep that flood your mentions, I'm going to need you to issue a public apology to me about the critical analysis toward Dean Curley. Please tell all the sheep to stay off Twitter for a while and watch some baseball. Smiley face emojis. P.S. Tell them also, put that in their pipe and smoke it. Laughing while I'm crying emoji.
What? All right, I'm looking at... So that was officially scored an error for Curley?
Yep.
Okay. I actually said that a second ago, and I wasn't really sure, but I figured it would be. I mean, it was exactly what Brad says. Like, didn't...
Billy Barrels had a couple of blasts last night. That's
great.
Good.
That last one, I almost didn't think it was out because it was too high. It was too high.
What do you have, 7 RBIs last night?
Sounds right.
Tennessee off today. We're hoping to be joined by Drew Beam next hour on the program, and we will have a pair of tickets to the series and opener against Mizzou tomorrow to give away in hour number 3. So stay tuned for your chance to win tickets to Tennessee baseball tomorrow at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. When we continue, Jordan DeGianni of CBS Sports will join us to discuss the National Football League draft. We got to take a quick time out. We'll be right back with Jordan when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell, Houston Bear, Tucker cruising with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined by our old pal Jordan DeGianni of CBS Sports. Good afternoon, Jordan. How are you, sir?
Yo, my friends, what's going on? Hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Doing splendidly. Good to hear your voice again. And I know this is an exciting time for anybody who covers the NFL, kind of Christmas Eve type feeling, right?
It absolutely is, man. I will tell you, the NFL draft is one of my favorite sporting events in my life, really. But, you know, as soon as we get to draft week, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm ready for the first pick to actually go.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Excited.
I remember, you know, growing up, the draft was on a Saturday and a Sunday, and only the hardest of the hardcores would watch the whole thing, just sit there and watch the draft. But I would remember, like, this is before the internet too, for you youngins, Tucker and perhaps you, Jordan, you would like be outside doing stuff, like playing with your friends, and you'd come in once every 2 or 3 hours and watch the ticker to see who got drafted and kind of get caught up like that. But I remember thinking, Jordan, when they switched it and they said, okay, the first round is going to be on Thursday, I remember thinking, oh, this is really stupid. Like, what are they doing? And then we all sat and watched it, and it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. This is the greatest made-for-TV male soap opera event you could possibly have. The first round of the draft, sit there and watch that on Thursday night. It's a yearly tradition. It's wonderful.
You're totally right. You described it perfectly, and it's become must-watch TV. That's what the NFL wants it to be, and now they're changing locations. They're hosting parties for it. We saw what transpired in Nashville a few years ago. The NFL continues to grow this event, and it's as exciting as it's been advertised.
Well, I just remember, like, the COVID year, that was kind of disappointment, but they pulled it off, and we're all sitting at home with nothing to do, and so everybody was watching. That Belichick sitting there at his crappy little table, and Vrabel's at home with his kids dressed up in suits behind them, and It's it was fun.
In his weird basement for what you would think of the commissioner
live from some
log
cabin.
Yeah, we're waiting for Grandpa Roger Goodell to make his way to that leather seat, sit down, and read the card. I remember that.
Let's go. All right, Jordy. So almost 24 hours out now. Are there any big rumors out there percolating in NFL circles, trades, mystery picks, guys rising, falling? Anything you can share with us?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, two of the big things that I'm really focused on right now that I'm completely undecided, no idea what's going to happen. First of all, is the trade market atop the draft board. And most mocks you look at, you see the Los Angeles Chargers at number 5 moving down, someone like the Minnesota Vikings moving up to draft quarterback J.J. McCarthy. But, there's definitely been some trade talks with the Arizona Cardinals at 4. If people don't like negotiating with Jim Harbaugh, they can talk to Monty Austin Ford out there in Arizona, potentially jump the Chargers at 5. Maybe that quarterback goes at number 4 instead of at number 5, and the Chargers end up sticking and picking. That would be a nightmare scenario for the Tennessee Titans, in my opinion, because I think Joe Alt is very in play. I think Jim Harbaugh wants to reinforce the trenches. Now, that's not their greatest need, but we know that Jim Harbaugh puts a lot of importance on that offensive line. So the other thing that we really need to address is, where exactly is J.J. McCarthy's stock? Because a lot of people have been penciling him in there at number 5, maybe number 6 to the New York Giants. Are we 100% certain that's going to happen? What if he falls to number 7 with the Tennessee Titans and all of a sudden that trade market really sparks up? So J.J. McCarthy's stock is something I'm really fascinated in, because I think he's a prospect that can have a better pro career than he did in college from a production standpoint. But where exactly are you going to take this guy? Is he really a top 5 pick in the NFL draft?
Yeah, Jordan, that was actually my question for you. I watched him play late in the season, and I seem to remember Michigan running the ball 30 to 40 straight times to kind of take the ball out of his hand. His inaccuracy to the outer parts of the field, the numbers kind of jump off. Do you buy this Phoenix-like rise of J.J. McCarthy up draft boards?
It's definitely been a Phoenix-like rise, I can tell you that. And, I will tell you, I do appreciate the candor of some NFL pundits when they break down this prospect, because it almost sounds like they don't know where the noise is coming from either. I think Jim Harbaugh's done an incredible job behind the scenes campaigning for his guy to be selected high. And, again, him at number 5, he can facilitate J.J. McCarthy's eventual NFL landing spot. But when it comes to him as a prospect, you're right. I mean, what? He had like 10 completions in the national championship game. Mm-hmm. He's not someone who shouldered the load for an offense, which is what you look for a quarterback at the next level, usually someone like a Michael Penix Jr. But with McCarthy, he definitely has athletic traits. When he was called upon to be efficient on third down, he was able to do that as well. That's why I do think that he could have a bright future. But when it comes to taking him inside the top 5, top 7, whatever it may be, that's where I'm an NFL general manager. I have several questions.
So if the Chargers throw the monkey wrench into this thing and take Joe Alt, where does that leave the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I think in a weirdly similar spot as Tennessee, because I think that if I was the general manager of the Chargers, I'd be opting to take someone like Malik Nabers or maybe even Marvin Harrison Jr. if he falls to 5. I eventually think he's probably going to go number 4 to the Arizona Cardinals. But let's say Joe Alt goes number 5 to the Los Angeles Chargers. I think that Tennessee would have to look at Malik Nabers if he falls that far. It'd be interesting if the New York Giants, do they take a McCarthy, do they take Malik Nabers and try to ride it out with Daniel Jones? They just gave that quarterback a 4-year extension last offseason. So Tennessee may be in a weird spot where Joe Walt's off the board, Malik Nabers is off the board, and that's not necessarily a spot you want to be in. But when it comes to potential trading scenarios, maybe that's something that Rand Carthon opts to do. He talked about in his pre-draft press conference yesterday saying that he is going to entertain all the trade calls that come through. It's called doing your due diligence. Mm. But he did mention that there are some prospects on their big board that they would refuse to move down from if they are available. So that'll be interesting to see who that is.
Yeah, I mean, there's already been some thought that even if Alt is available, that they still might trade down and try and get cute with it. I don't know. We're a couple of Titans fans sitting around here talking, Jordan. What would you do? Do you just play it safe, take Alt if he's available there, or do you try and get cute with this thing and milk it a little bit and see if you can end up fixing more of your problems?
So So it's a good question because it really comes down to the Titans draft board. I mean, there are certainly people out there that really like Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. And if you can find some value in him where you trade down a little bit, acquire that third round pick for the mid rounds and then get your guy Fashanu, you know, that's certainly a course of action. But if I was Rand Carthon, I'm sticking at 7 and grabbing Joe Alt. You know, throughout this pre-draft process, I've been the guy that said, yeah, I would like Joe Alt at 7, but now all of a sudden I'm like, gosh, I hope he's there at number 7 for Tennessee. I don't have to tell you guys about the needs at left tackle that the Titans have, and keeping Will Levis upright is the most effective way to judge what kind of quarterback you have for the future. I talked to Joe Alt last week, actually. I had an interview with him, and I was pretty impressed just with how technical he got. You know, he's breaking down the run block game and the pass protection to me, things he can improve upon. And I was pretty impressed with just how cerebral of a player he is. So I'm pretty sold on Joe Alt as a prospect. He comes from an athletic family. His dad's in the Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame. His brother was a draft pick of the NHL's Carolina Hurricanes. So, yeah, if it's my selection, I'm taking Joe Alt at 7, and I hope he's there.
Talking with Jordan Dejani, CBS Sports, this afternoon here on the program. And, Jordan, what up at the very top of the draft? You know, Caleb Williams has been a bit of a lightning rod. And I just wonder if his personality off the field were a little bit more conservative, a little bit more buttoned up, if we wouldn't be having these conversations, oh, are the Bears making a big mistake right here? Because, I mean, you just look at the physical gifts, and it's pretty obvious. What is your take on Williams? Is he simply too good for the Bears to pass up? It feels like a done deal that that's who they're taking.
Right, right. There's no question to me. Caleb Williams is definitely my QB1 in this class. No disrespect to Jaden Daniels, who had quite literally a historical campaign for LSU, but I really like what Caleb brings to the table in terms of his escapability out of the pocket. He makes all the throws downfield that you want your QB1 to make as well. When it comes to some of the negative attention surrounding him, I feel like that's almost natural when it comes to the unquestioned QB1 in this class, is the way I would put it. So it's to be expected a little bit. And, you know, when it comes to his personality, I wish I was an expert when it comes to evaluating personalities and how that affects leadership on a professional sports field. I'm not. But Caleb Williams would certainly be my number one pick if I was the Chicago Bears.
Jordan, we know Jalen Wright is going to get drafted this week out of the University of Tennessee. We think Joe Milton will get drafted. Perhaps Kamal Haddon. Perhaps the tight end, Castles. What are your thoughts? How many Vols are going to hear their names called this weekend?
Yeah, it's a good question. I haven't really sat down and done a 7-round mock draft, but Jalen Wright, I think, is a player who has helped himself throughout the pre-draft process. I think the NFL teams see some real explosive qualities from this guy. I think he could go maybe inside the top 80, maybe a little bit after 80 as well. The running backs are kind of an interesting position to evaluate because I like all these guys. I mean, when it comes to Cody Schrader out of Mizzou, that's someone who I like as a day 3 pick. But when it comes to the Tennessee Volunteers, I guess Joe Milton, of course, the quarterback, is someone that everyone's going to be wondering about. In my opinion, I think he's a day 3 pick. But people who have studied him, I mean, he obviously has these qualities when it comes to arm talent that are attractive. And when you possess that kind of arm talent, it's a certain quality that can make great quarterbacks elite quarterbacks. But the problem is, Joe Milton's going to have to prove himself that he can be a good quarterback, a great quarterback, or whatever that may be. So there's certainly questions when it comes to Joe Milton, but he could go as late as the 7th round. He could be a 6th round pick. The fact that he plays the quarterback position is something that helps him because we know that that's a premium position. And I'll tell you, we've seen some different trends throughout the NFL draft ever since Brock Purdy was selected with the final pick a couple years ago. There are teams out there that will draft quarterbacks a little bit higher than anticipated just for the potential that is there.
That Cody Schrader guy is going to play for like 12 years in the NFL,
man,
right?
Multiple All-Pros.
Yeah. I mean, what I like about him, though, is he has really good vision. That's something that I look for running backs as prospects. And we know he's a gamer. He's not the fastest kid in the world. He's not going to test out of this world, but I think he shows really good vision. So if we're talking about day 3 picks, that's someone who I would definitely consider.
Do you think Tennessee players get dinged because of the perception that Josh Heupel's offense is a quote-unquote gimmicky offense?
I believe Mickey Mouse was the term that got me into a Twitter fight last week.
It's been out there.
You know, it's a good question, and it's one that we don't have a solid answer for, because a lot of people were looking at Hendon Hooker to answer some of those questions last year. But I think a reason he fell further than anticipated was the pre-existing injury. So if he didn't have that pre-existing injury, I wonder exactly where his draft stock could have been, because there were people out there saying that he could have snuck into the end of round one. I thought that was a little bit rich, but again, when we're talking about quarterbacks with qualities that you desire, you can draft them over their hypothetical position. So I don't have a solid answer for that question, but again, these guys are talented, they're athletes, and they can fit in any NFL scheme.
I think a lot of the proof in the pudding as far as that whole conversation is going to be with these wide receivers.
Yeah.
That they like it.
Unfortunately, they went to Cleveland and the Giants. So,
well, and even the ones that, you know, Brew, Brazel, sure, sure. Mike Matthews, these guys that were five-star, highly touted dudes who are coming in here, if they catch on and have productive career, and Nico. Sure.
Oh, yeah, right? He's a big one. Yeah.
If those guys do well, then I think it puts this conversation to bed, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. But when it comes to the wide receiver position specifically, like, I don't have many concerns if we're talking about a quote-unquote Mickey Mouse offense. If you can show me that you're explosive, you can catch the ball, you have somewhat of a developed route tree, then I'm going to be interested in you. And just because you had more productive or more production in college is not something that really should ding you. I think you need to take the entire package and evaluate it. But if you can show that you're a legitimate weapon on a top tier offense that racks up yards as a wide receiver specifically, I'm going to be fine taking you. When it comes to the quarterback position, that's where you have more concerns, because a lot of these NFL offenses, they run these pro style schemes. And if you're someone who can't go through progression, who's always working out of the gun, that's something that you have to teach these young quarterbacks.
Yeah. Hooker is going to be interesting to see if, you know, what happens whenever he gets his chance as well. Jordan, any other big draft scuttlebutt here on NFL Draft Eve that you find interesting or pertinent to our conversation today?
Oh, man, so many. I'm expecting 10 SEC players to go in the first round. I'm expecting maybe 10 offensive linemen to be drafted in the first round, which will be pretty surprising as well. Brock Bowers is a really intriguing prospect, because you talk to NFL teams and they all try to say that he's a top 10 talent. But is he someone who is a lock to go inside the top 10? I don't necessarily think so. So Brock Bowers, obviously a very intriguing prospect, great receiver. But, you know, you look at some of these former first-round tight ends. Let's talk about Kyle Pitts from Florida. These are weapons that you have to game plan around. So Brock Bowers' landing spot is going to be absolutely important, because he needs an offensive staff that is going to work to his strengths, work toward his abilities. And one of those teams, to be quite honest with you guys, that would be a great landing spot for Brock would be number 15 with the Indianapolis Colts and Anthony Richardson.
Ah, pick up the Dallas Clark baton.
I would not love to see him in the division, but it would be pretty interesting.
Yep. All right, Jordan. Good. What last thing? What about anybody sliding in the first round? Do we have any potential embarrassing green room candidates to be watching for tomorrow night as we watch a young man's hopes and dreams dashed before a national television audience? It's always fun.
You know, it's funny. It seems like the NFL is cutting down on all the players in the green room. I think we only have like 13 players who are going to be at the draft this year, so not many guys are going to be in that green room. When it comes to potential sliders, I'm looking at Darius Robinson from Missouri. I know a lot of people have been talking about him as a second-round pick. That's why I have him going as well. He's certainly got some first-round buzz, but if he works his way into the top 32, remains to be seen. Another guy, Oregon center Jackson Powers Johnson. He's been kind of a fringe first-round player as well. With him being a center, I wonder if he's going to slide into round two. Ladd McConkey from Georgia. I think he's one of the best route runners in this class. I think he could be a first-round pick. But it seems like, looking at some of the line movement in Vegas, he may go second round as well.
All right. We'll keep an eye out for it all. Jordan, we appreciate it. Everybody go follow him on X at Jordan Dejani. You can read his work at CBSSports.com. Jordan, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for jumping on.
Anytime, guys. Thanks so much.
Jordan Dejani, one more time on the program. A lot to unpack there. The NFL draft coming up tomorrow night. It had really become a must-see TV event, that Thursday night first round of the draft. We'll break it down when we continue with you after a brief timeout. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
Just Blaze. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Jordan DeGianni, CBS Sports. Bear, what did you learn?
I feel a little more relieved. It sounded like, according to Jordan, he really would be stunned if Ault's available, that they would take Ault. Titans will draft him there. So, I wish you'd asked him what he thought about Caleb Williams' fingernails.
Not QB1 material right there. I'm with Kress. I am stunned. Kress's fascination with McNamara.
McCarthy, but yeah.
Whatever. Potentially being drafted.
No, I don't think he's good. I made it a point to myself. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this Michigan team. And I watched them play Penn State, Ohio State. And I thought, man, they're really good offensive and defensive lines. They've got some good skill players. And every time I watch that guy drop back to throw the football, I'm just like.
Wonder what Merrill thinks of I haven't seen his evaluation of Caleb Williams yet.
Are you an ESPN guy or NFL Network guy during the first round?
The one person I pay attention to on their evaluations, and I never really liked him that much, but dude's usually dead on, is that Merrill Hodge guy.
Is it Hodge or
Merrill
Hodge? Hodge, you're right. Disappeared.
He got shoo-shooed.
Yeah.
Really?
That was canceled a while ago.
No, he got shoo-shooed off the big stage for the NFL. He had some beef with the Mel Kiper's and so on. Do you not remember this a couple years ago?
It all started over.
He was on the sidelines.
He
gained some weight and was like drugged out. Yeah. I don't think he took it well. But he was big boy and like the experts on where guys he thought they should be slotted. And they'd go back 2 years and review, and they're like, actually.
It's like exactly right. Like his thing, have you never seen his evaluation, Johnny Manziel?
He laughed.
You do not draft this guy in the first round.
I think he said first two. He was like, you don't draft him before round three.
And
he just don't
went
do
down
it.
The list. It was really cold and analytical. But like 2 years later, like to what Houston's saying, they'd come back and check, and he's like always like, bam, right on it.
And you're still just completely out on Caleb Williams. You think the Bears are making a big mistake.
I think so, because, I mean, you're drafting him first. I just think the risk – I wouldn't draft him there. I think there's enough – I mean, it's – no.
I think they just feel like they have to, because if they don't and he does become the next Mahomes, it will forever be the – you idiots. You could have taken him. You had the number one pick, and you just let him go.
Here's another thing about Mahomes, and it goes back to what Stevie's calling all this. Kansas City's offensive line has been unreal pretty much since they've had Mahomes. He very rarely gets hit.
You got to have the whole thing, man. You do.
I'm not saying he's not freakishly, once-in-a-generational type player, but let's be honest. If he's playing behind the Titans line for the past 4 years, you think he's – won three however many Super Bowls?
No, they've their front office and Reed, it's a wonderful collaboration, because there really haven't been any weaknesses. They've got Kelsey. They've always had speedy wideouts. They've had solid running back play. They've really had it all there, and their defense hasn't seemingly suffered. It's like they put – no, they're not a dominant defense, but they've never had just a leaky sieve back there. It's really impressive.
No, they were really good this year. And what impressed me was they lost, you lose Tyreek Hill, you lose some of these guys that have kind of been staples. And it was frustrating throughout a lot of the season, especially for fantasy owners of Pat Mahomes like myself. The numbers weren't quite there, but they kept winning games. And then by the end of the season, those guys are a little bit more ready, and they did it again.
Boy, I wish Jalen Hyatt had gotten drafted by them.
It'd have been silly. Silly. Andy Reid drawing up plays for Jalen Hyatt.
Where do you guys put Reid all time? Where do you rank him now?
I mean,
is he up there with Belichick and Noel? And
I don't have rankings in my head, but he's definitely one of the GOATs.
What, 15, 10 probably?
And climbing, really.
Yeah, he is.
He got into a really good situation at KC after what happened in Philadelphia.
Top 10, I think he's knocking on the door top 5.
And he's got an entire coaching tree that's dispersed throughout the league as well, so he's got some influence there.
It's the Mike Holmgren tree originally, isn't it?
I think that's right.
Which it all comes from Bill Walsh, right?
Yeah.
So, very interesting storylines to follow. as we look forward to the NFL draft tomorrow night. If you want to jump in here, 865-288-3131 is your number to get on the show, 288-3131. We're hoping to talk to Drew Beam coming up next hour, Tennessee ace pitcher, who will be the Friday night starter this week, simply because the series starts tomorrow.
Correct, yes.
We will have tickets to give away to tomorrow night's ball. Very, very fun. I mean, this is 7:30 pitch, first pitch tomorrow night. Great opportunity to go and sit under the stars. Lindsey Nelson, looks like we're going to have good weather to watch Tony Vitello battle his alma mater. He made a reference last night. I have to go back and watch his post-game media scrum. But evidently, he brought up, unprompted, his hatred for Missouri and how
really?
They screwed him over. Yes.
Really? He was a little disrespected there as a player. At least he felt like that.
Player, and they didn't even ring his phone when they were looking for the replacement.
Did he go full Phil?
He
Phil
said,
Leotardo?
I don't know. I'll have to go back and listen to it. It sounded like Tucker may have seen it, but I think he made reference to a situation that occurred when he was at Arkansas, and he was coaching third base against Missouri, and apparently they were chirping at him from the dugout.
Huh.
There was an incident. Which, it's hard for those of us who didn't follow. I don't remember Tony Vitello coaching third base for Arkansas. I didn't pay attention to college baseball before Tony Vitello got here. Not very closely, anyway.
You didn't even know who Tony Vitello was.
I could imagine him getting into some saucy conversations with the opposing dugout when if he's coaching third base.
Oh, yeah.
And the other
team's
right
over
his shoulder.
He's looking back at you.
You have to ask him about
that
sometime.
I'd say he's fairly salty. Be surprised if bad language was.
I was trying to see if they had any, you know, write up on his scrum. You know, sometimes they'll do like, oh, what did Tony Vitello say after the game? Nothing last night. I wonder if they scrubbed it.
See a hothead?
Do what?
See
Tony?
A hothead, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think he's a baseball guy, baseball manager, baseball coach. He's going to fight for his guys. And I mean, he hasn't had any hothead moments this year.
But baseball managers and coaches do – it does attract a lot of short fuse guys.
Yeah, and when they go big.
Well, and one of the – I think romantic, if you will, elements of baseball is it's almost like fighting in hockey where
that's what I was going to say. It's accepted.
Yeah, it's almost encouraged. It's just understood there's going to be this, and I think it's understood in baseball that every now and then the manager gets to completely lose his mind, and we're just all okay
like
with
a
that.
Loon.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, we've seen him, you know, and he got in trouble for it. He went full loon.
I mean, you see football and basketball coaches do it too, but there's just something funny about the spectacle of a grown man in the uniform of the team
yes,
that he's coaching.
I think that always adds a lot to it.
And then when he runs out onto the field and has a one-on-one confrontation with the umpire and they're yelling at each other face-to-face, it's just a little bit different when it is happening on the sideline. It's hard to get a good camera shot of it. Or during a basketball game, there's lots of noise, and there's usually players moving back and forth. There's something about it's like these two guys are on a stage, and they're almost doing a dance with each other. It's, okay, now I do this, and you do this.
Yeah, it's like a bit.
There's pointing.
Baseball by far is the most aggressive of the three major sports. Now, I do want to – next time we have him on, you got to let me finally ask him – my question about, does he think that football coaches and basketball coaches should coach in uniform the way baseball coaches do? Like Heupel being like full uniform?
You want Heupel over there in full pads?
And like Barnes coming out there all knock-kneed and a pair of shorts and a tank top jersey?
I mean, when you look at the olden days pitch, like was it John McGraw of the Philadelphia A's? You know, they're in a suit over there on the box, which must have been just sweltering.
Awful.
Well, player coaches were a thing once upon a time. Should we bring them back?
That's probably where it comes from. There's probably a time when most managers could were expected to jump in there
and
play a little bit at some point.
They weren't expecting those two old geezers in the natural to play, and they both had on uniforms. That was set in, what, the 30s?
The natural was fiction, though, right? That wasn't set in Major League Baseball. I've never seen it. I don't know.
What?
Never seen The Natural.
Neither have I.
Why not? It's like just one of the all-time great baseball movies.
I want to see it. I asked my wife just last week if she wanted to watch it. She said no.
Ooh, I think she'd like it.
Ba-ba-ba! Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba! Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba! It's a great scene. I've seen that. The lights are exploding and everything.
That's one fraction of just an incredible movie.
Isn't it Wilford Brimley in that?
Yeah, he plays one of the old-ass managers. Oh. Doc, I think.
Maybe. I feel like he'd be good as a manager in a baseball movie.
Oh, both the guys. Like, as soon as you see both the managers, it's like straight out of Central Casting. I cannot believe you, as big a baseball guy.
Yeah.
Period pieces.
I know. Right up my alley. Is there a love story angle to it, too? Is it kind of cheesy?
No, it's not cheesy. It's kind of dark.
It feels to me like the Hoosiers of baseball, in a way.
No, I mean, it's got a dark edge to it, too.
I mean, there's a dark edge to Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alcoholic guy.
Alcoholic assistant and the coach running away from beating up a player.
Yeah. Dark, shady incident in the past that was only alluded to.
Oh, it's you're probably right. You'd love it, man.
But you hate Hoosiers, right?
Well, he's never seen it.
Never seen it. Never will.
Let me make a trade here. We'll watch The Natural if you watch Hoosiers.
It's a 2-for-1. It's a deal.
I mean, it's the same thing. Hoosiers has a great soundtrack. There's great montages.
Feel good moments. Feel weird moments.
Mm-hmm.
We'll watch a few.
Barbara Hershey, Glenn Close, kind of like oddly attractive older women.
Just think about it.
Glenn Close, I mean, oddly attractive?
Yeah.
I feel like the reason they were movie stars is they were pretty attractive.
Well, they were attractive in their day, but in those movies, and like I'm not sure exactly when the Natural
50s?
Was filmed.
Oh, no.
No, but in what they were in their probably late 30s when those movies were made. And so
they were prime.
To us now, but when we were younger men, we probably have not thought
no,
so.
No.
Let's see how I threaded that needle.
I was going to say, walked nicely, sir.
Coming up, hour number 3. Of the program begins with the top 5 at 5. Tucker Harlan will have that. More portal targets for Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Vols. NBA playoffs going on. Got to get into this Texas A&M thing a little bit as well. Stay tuned. It is The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.